Welcome to Parenting Matters on Nashville Catholic Radio, WBOU 100.5 FM, sponsored by the Family Life Office of the Diocese of Nashville. Your host for the program is Dr. Parr Donahue. Dr. Parr has years of experience in pediatrics and parenting. He was named the Senior Pediatrician of the Year by the Tennessee Chapter of the American Academy of Pediatrics in 2014. Dr. Parr is the author of four books, including books on parenting entitled Messengers in Denim, The Amazing Things Parents Can Learn from Teens, and Tools for Effective Parenting. Visit Dr. Parr's blog at www.parentingwithdrparr.com. Here's your host, Dr. Parr Donahue.
Welcome to Parenting Matters on WBOU 100.5 FM and streaming throughout the world on WBOU.org. Our subject today, getting your kids to love doing chores. Our guest expert is Dr. James Welborn. He's a frequent guest on our show, and I'll tell you more about him in a moment. But first, my monologue. Why not get your kids to love doing their chores? After all, children who do chores exhibit higher self-esteem, more responsibility, and better equipped to deal with frustrations, adversity, and delayed gratification. These skills can lead to greater success in school, work, and relationships. The American Academy of Pediatrics says children need to have some obligations and duties within the family, or they will not learn to accept responsibility. There are many other benefits from involving your child in age-appropriate chores. Chores teach time management and organizational skills. They provide an opportunity for success, especially for a child who is struggling in other ways. And it is these successes that help kids develop self-confidence. I always thought that teachers teach wrong because they emphasize what you get wrong. If you do bad in math, you get to have extra math classes. If you do well in math, then you just skip brush aside. But if they want you to succeed, then they should help you in the areas that you do well. Parents too. Jobs also help work and play be balanced from a young age. All of these set a good foundation for functioning independently, and that's what you want to do, get your kids to be independent. I tell kids when they're about in seventh grade that their job now in the next 4 years, 4 to 8, 6 years, is to get their lives away from their parents. Of course, mother's horrified when I say that, but I say, isn't that the truth? I says, do you want this kid in your house when he's 80? Have you cooking for him? I says, no, get his life away. We'll talk about that later some other day. I can see Dr. Welborn laughing about that one. Comment?
No, I'm not going to interrupt you while you're spouting the wisdom of the ages.
Ages is right.
Exactly. I was wondering if that 80-year-old person was you or me.
Still, it seems nobody loves chores, right? No, that's wrong. Very young kids love to do chores. Many years ago, our kids had a book called We Help Daddy. And they would get that out all during their high school years, too, and drag that out and say, we help daddy. You know how kids are in high school. They have so much fun with it. But when they were preschoolers and in the early grades, they loved hearing us read this book to them and helping their mother and me do things around the house and in the yards. But as they got older, chores lost their luster and became just plain chores. Where did we go wrong? Well, we started off right. Kids as young as 3 can learn to fold clothes, sort socks, unload the dishwasher, put silverware on the table, bust the dishes to the sink, and even feed the dog. Our kids love doing these things, even though Mary and I often thought it was easier to do them ourselves than to let the kids help. But we and they persisted. As the kids got older, we gave in to the urge to do just do the things ourselves. It was easier that way, it took less time, and we are both quite sticklers for details. The other thing we lacked was making chores fun. But we learned, and our kids turned out to be wonderful, hardworking professionals of whom we are extremely proud. So now, with the help of Dr. Welborn, we will give you some tips so your kids will develop healthy work habits and you'll enjoy working with them. Dr. Welborn, who has been a frequent guest on this show, is a clinical psychologist focusing on adolescents and families. He sees teens and parents at the United Methodist Complex in Brentwood and writes a column for WilliamsonHomepage.com. He is also the author of Raising Teens in the 21st Century. His wife and he have raised 2 children to adulthood. I'm sure you will enjoy his discussions. Welcome once again, Dr. Wellborn, to Parenting Matters. It's always a pleasure to talk with you.
Thanks, Parr. It's good to be here, too.
Let's get right to it. Do you think 3 or 4 is too early to give kids chores?
No. What chores you can give them and what chores they can effectively accomplish or follow through with is really the issue about things to me rather than the age, especially by the time they're 3 or 4 years old. As often is the case in developmental considerations for kids, what that means for younger kids, especially kids that young, is that the task needs to be very structured and very, very simple. And so rather than saying, okay, it's your turn to put the dishes on the table for a kid that age, you hand them non-breakable things.
And knives.
So really, it's more at that age, not about them actually helping. It's about imbuing in them the idea that they have a contribution to make and that they have a responsibility to the family to pitch in. And so those are really the kind of basics for that. And for most of us as parents with kids that age, by the time they're that age, we're pretty aware of what they're in danger of destroying or damaging by letting them do. And so that usually most of us can figure out what to do. It's the idea of making sure that they have something to do, that they don't have this sense, even from that young age, that people are just going to completely wait on them or do things for them or that kind of thing.
Okay, those are two very important issues, the expectations, what you expect from them, and then choosing things that are not too difficult, but on the other hand, not too easy either. That's one of the things we got into as the kids got older. All their chores are too easy. We needed to give them harder things. What chores would you suggest for a preschooler? Now, before you're thinking about that, about 28 years ago, when I was a young man, even younger,
you were middle-aged 28 years ago. You know it.
You're still middle-aged. My wife and I visited one of our daughter's family in Dayton, Ohio, and their son, who was in his baby, was at daycare. So we went over there to visit the daycare, and they were having their morning break.
Oh, yes.
And all these little 3-year-old kids were sitting around this table, and here comes this kid with a pitcher of orange juice, and he poured orange juice in all those other kids' glasses around the table. Didn't spill a drop. Nobody pulled their glass off from under him, and like, my kids would have done with their brother was pulling something for them. And it was such an interesting learning experience for me.
Uh-huh. So, okay, well, I was also thinking about when you were going through your initial kind of overview of what we're going to talk about, and you said kids as young as 3, and you said sorting socks and folding clothes. And I have to say, Par, I thought in my mind, okay, that – you must have like genius kids, okay?
I do.
I don't know that that's a reasonable expectation that 3 and 4 year olds would go through the clothes and pull out the socks and be able to mash them. Now, I'm not saying not necessarily have them do that, but it's one thing about having them do chores for the sake of having chores to do. It's another about whether they can actually help. And that gets us into an efficiency issue about which may be related to the orange juice thing. And so the question that I have is whether every kid poured the orange juice or whether they got that one kid who was good at pouring orange juice and not spilling it all over the place to do that. But with that being said, the efficiency aspect of this is that, for example, let's take orange juice at home, you can help your kids develop competence at being able to manage the juice pitcher. But that also is going to include things like making sure you don't fill it up to the top, and so it's got enough liquid in it so that it's manageable by them. It also means that you ideally and probably necessarily have to go through a learning process. And so you would have them put the cups on the floor, not on the carpeted floor, and have all the towels ready so that they start practicing pouring. You can even do that with water first so that you don't have sticky orange juice. So there's a whole evolution of teaching and training and experience and skill development that's about parenting anyway. And we do that in all the other areas of parenting. And so the same is true for kids that young. It depends on, for me, there's a practical issue, which is what's the trade-off between taking the time to have my kid be able to pour orange juice, which technically they could with enough training, as opposed to waiting until they're 5 or 6, where it doesn't take as much training to do that. And so I tend to be more in a proponent of definitely having responsibilities for kids so that they contribute to the household. And so they recognize that they have obligations to the family to pitch in and contribute, but do that more from that character focus rather than from the actual helping around the house. As they get older, then they really do need to vacuum the floor thoroughly. And they really do need to not spill orange juice when they're pouring that, or pay attention to what they're doing, or that aspect of things.
Right. Good. Very good. I want to have you talked just a little bit about positive reinforcement and feedback, because it is so important. And yet I hear parents just blow my mind when they have a kid playing basketball and he makes one free throw out of 100 in the game. And mom said, "Oh, here comes the best basketball player in the whole world." And she's pouring praise on him, which is so false. It makes me think that, and I always ask myself, what's this kid thinking?
Right.
He's thinking, I got a mother who's an idiot. Well, a liar.
He could think, I've got a mother who thinks I'm wonderful. Okay.
No.
He's going to think she's an idiot when he gets to be a teenager, regardless of what she does. Okay. But I'm not sure. But I appreciate the concept here, which is that praise that's based on just the idea of trying to build your kid up rather than having it be linked to actual accomplishment or skill or the development of demonstration of some competence. And so that notion about praise is actually a really complicated one, it turns out, not just for chores, but for anything. But it has a relevance for chores, because the idea of, and the other thing I want to say while I was thinking about it is that when you started talking and said that they made just one free throw, I actually thought you were going to say, and the parents started screaming at the kid for missing all the other free throws. Okay, I think
it works both ways.
It's a bad sign for me that my first thought was yelling at them for failing, okay, rather than complimenting them versus success. So that
you have. How'd your kids do?
Exactly. You have two different directions you can go from the parent thing about that. But the idea of encouragement and support and validation and reinforcement, like positive kinds of feedback, is what it is that you focus on. And there's a couple of different dimensions of that. If we want to use chores as the example, and one of those is doing a good job of whatever. You know, there's ethics and there's morals and there's underlying principles and family values that are should be a part of all that we do in parenting. That's really the thing that we transmit most directly of all the things that we parent our kids about. It's really the moral structure that parents have a key role in. So many other things are influenced by opportunity and by peers and by all kinds of different things and the kids' dispositions. But the moral fabric isn't at the core. And so the one focus is about making sure that that's something that you comment on. You know, it's really wonderful to me that you take this and help us out and do the things with us so that we're all kind of helping each other out. You know, things like as a family, that's really important. In our family, it's really important for everybody to pitch in.
Mm-hmm.
You have them put the cutlery on the table, spread about, and knives falling on the floor and whatever. And they get to it eventually and do that. And it's like, you know, I really appreciate your help. I really appreciate you doing that. Not the, oh my goodness, I'm so proud of you. You're so wonderful. It's really lower key kind of acknowledgments and identifications, because part of what compliments and recognition does is highlight for kids what they're supposed to pay attention to. Just like the negative kind of criticisms or disapproval or even disappointment highlights what they're not supposed to do. And so you've got this kind of, there are some parenting models that are all purely positive. Like there's literally no space for a negative kind of addressing of behavior. And I admire the possibility of that. It's impossible for me to do, maybe because I have character flaws, but nonetheless, the importance of focusing on what they have done and focusing on what they've accomplished, but not making it exaggerated or excessive given the reality of whatever it is. And so, you know, making the game-winning shot, there's a lot of jumping up and down and screaming and that kind of business. Making a free throw shot is important to say that was really wonderful that you know, you did that, you accomplished that, whatever, but in a low key sort of way. And the same thing. And so the issue about chores is about not blowing it out of proportion. Like you're the most wonderful thing in the world because you did what you're supposed to do. This notion of obligation and responsibility is a really crucial message to be given to kids, especially because they're going to end up being teenagers, and that in your house, you want them to take for granted that they've got obligations that they have to do and responsibilities. And then, of course, for good parents, they're actually trying to do that for when they grow up. For me, it was just while you're in my house, I want you to do that. And if it works out better after you get out of the house, that's great too. But just do the chores and quit complaining about it, for goodness sake.
Okay.
But I speak about my character flaws. I'm going to have to mention that frequently because that's one of the problem that I work with.
You said teaching kids right from wrong. That is so important in everything. And it goes right in what they do every day. The little things we talked about. Because if you can't trust little things, you can't trust the big things.
Yeah. I was surprised. You had read through the American Academy of Pediatrics some of their principal points about chores. Mm-hmm. And I was actually surprised to see that they didn't have that. There's also an element about the importance of having kids have the sense of responsibility and the need to make a contribution to a family group, to a community, that they were really focused on the practical aspect of that. And so that was just striking to me. But that's because I carry that in my head all the time about the importance of the values part of things.
I think they did say something about that.
I didn't mean to criticize them. Yeah. I was just struck that it didn't stand out to me, and I just think about that all the time.
You can criticize the AAP anytime you want, because I find a lot of things to criticize there.
Okay,
but anyhow, should kids be paid to do the chores?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not.
They're doing chores because they have an obligation. I mean, you're going to hear
their rent.
It's their obligation rent. And responsibility. No. It's not rent. That to me, that rent is just another way to translate that into I only do this if I get paid, as opposed to as a human being living in a communal setting where I contribute to the problems of dust and dirt and dirty dishes and whatever, and other people are doing stuff for me. I have a social and relationship obligation to contribute and do my part. And so they're going to do chores with completely independent of getting paid. Now, I also think it's important for kids to have allowances, but those allowances are like not in the sense of repeating a business model where they're working for it. That's really about how to understand they've got to figure out how to manage their money. And so to me, allowances and things like chores are separate things. Now, in an in-between area, there's then the things that are not regular chores. So, you know, laundry or vacuuming or putting the dishes on the table or putting the dishes up or pouring drinks for supper, whatever the different chores are. But then there are things like, you know, washing the windows of the house. Now, I don't have an opinion about parents shouldn't make that a chore, but I'm saying that there's a category of things that are kind of exceptional that then you make that a earned task. The problem with making chores about money is that a kid working with teenagers, what happens is the teenager says, fine, I don't care about the money. And then the parent says, you're going to have to do the chores anyway. And the whole thing unravels. Okay. And so the point is they have to do the chores regardless, because this is not about money. This is about what you are obligated to do as a member of this family and making a contribution. That's teaching them about the family, and that's teaching about being a responsible member of the community, because family is the model for our larger communities.
You know, my oldest son had his house, his kids are all grown now, but he had a chart, and these were the duty chores, the duties. Yes. And on the line, he'd have four pay chores, and he'd have, you know, mow the lawn, you can get $6 or whatever it is, or chop those trees up, you'll get $4. So he had those things, they could choose to do them or not. But the top ones, they were to do.
Yeah, that's exactly the kind of breakdown to me that I'm talking about. Now, well, did he come up with that himself, or is that something y'all did?
I told you we didn't do many things right.
Either that or your kids kept making up the rules and they were correct about that. And so is he an accountant now? It's like,
no, he's a pediatric eye surgeon.
Oh, for goodness sake. There's that detail. He's going to have lists all over the place, not to forget something while he's in there.
But he is so efficient. One day when we were living in Atlanta, I called him up because I had seen a paper that he had written in one of the medical journals. I said, Sean, could you send me a copy of that paper? He says, sure. So we talked about a while later. He said, okay, I got it sent. I said, how could you send it?
You are so old, Bar. Oh, my God. The fact that he could hit three buttons and send it by email. And
well, this is before that. He took it and walked it out there. Nailed it. Well, he was talking to me.
Okay, that is really efficient. Unless he had an assistant, okay? That's the other thing. Some people are really efficient because they have other people helping them.
That's all men and their wives and secretaries.
Exactly.
He did it by himself. I want to talk just a little bit about driving. Teenagers. Well, and I think because it's such a worry for parents.
Yeah.
A few years ago, I was appointed to be on a committee at church. And as I got a 3-year term, and this lady came in at the same time, she had a 3-year term. But during the meeting, she had to tell a little bit about herself and everything. She talked about her kids, and her oldest kid was, she said, by the time we get off this meeting, you know, he's going to have his driver's license. And she just almost started crying. I said, well, that's exciting. Says, yeah, for him.
Exactly.
I said, how can you say it's exciting? She says, you're a doctor. You know better. You know how teens are. Well, I wanted to say, yeah, teens are pretty darn wonderful, but I thought
they are wonderful.
And I said, well, start now. Here's what you do. Start now. Before he's able to drive, he still wanted to drive, and tell him how excited you're going to be when he learns to drive and gets his license. Right. And tell him that he's going to be a good driver because he sees you and Dad drive, and you're both good drivers. And then tell him that you just can't wait because you're going to be able to do some of those chores that I don't like doing, and I go to the store, pick up the kids. I just can't wait. Now get old enough to get that license. As you keep telling them that over and over again. Well, that's what we did with our kids. And they all turned out.
You were telling them that you can't wait for them to get the driver's license so they can do more chores for you? Is that
right? Yes. Yes.
Okay. This is like, to me, telling a kid, wait till you get to be an adult. It sucks because you have all these responsibilities. Okay, it's like, I'm not sure. I thought you were trying to discourage them from wanting to drive so you wouldn't have to deal with it.
I can't think that deeply.
Talk
to any teenager and say, hey, Joe, would you run down to the store, take the car, run down to the store and get a basket of whatever I need.
Whatever. That's part of the obligation. And initially, the vast majority of teenagers when they first get their license, love to do that for about, oh, a month. Okay. And then the rest of the time they start complaining. Okay. So that becomes another need for clarification about, look, there are privileges that you have, and there's these luxuries that we can afford for you actually to have us to have a car or you to have a car that you use. And there's obligations that you have. Here's obligations again in yet another form. So there's one thing about just generally knowing that, having the kid understand that that's an obligation that they go through. But the other pieces of that is that you also start ahead of time, like before, right when they get to 15, even before they get their permit, you're like starting to talk out loud as you're driving about decisions that you're making so that they start to hear that. Yep. And then you have a whole progression in the raising teens in the 21st century. I've got a whole chapter on driver's license and responsibility in that kind of business. I've got a chapter on chores. So there's more detail about this that people can find there in other places. But that's the concept in my mind.
What's the name of that book again?
Raising Teens in the 21st Century. And it's on all platforms. It's got ebooks and you can get a hard copy and everything.
Give hard copies too? I mean, hard covers?
I'm a hard copy book reader. I want to hold it in my hands.
Oh, yeah, but it means you have a hard cover book or just paperback?
Oh, no, we don't have a hardcover book.
Okay, good. All right.
It's not a classic, okay? It's just a stupid parenting book.
I have a couple more things I want to talk to you about, because one of the big things that we failed to do as parents, we didn't make the chores fun. Now, I don't know that everything has to be fun, but when your kids are in grade school, they can have a lot of fun doing chores. Our second kid was pretty good at making everything fun, and he enjoyed everything he did, so that helped a lot, but I think that's important.
I agree with you. I think so too.
And Dr. Montessori uses that in her teaching. We had a show a few weeks ago with Dr. Montessori teacher. Okay. We're going to be doing another one in a couple of weeks. Anyhow, we're running out of time. So there's just enough time left for a quick story. When our kids were teenagers, we lived in a solar home that had the bedrooms in the lower level. The roll-out windows had screens on the inside, and the bottom of the window was almost level with the ground. When in the late summer of one of the years, one of our son's room began to stink like high heaven. It was worse than yesteryear's old outdoor toilets. But when the smell started to get spread to the rest of the house, we all agreed, we're going to clean that room, you like it or not. So we went in there. It was really easy. He had opened the window of most of the summer. When the fall came, he closed the window, and unaware that he'd caught the leg of a great big frog trying to get out of the window and was stuck there in that window. Well, you know the rest of the story. It stunk like everything. So the moral of the story is it is possible to give your kids too much freedom as far as room hygiene is concerned. Now, for your homework, call your family together, go to my website, www.parenting-, or I should say my older son told me, parenting-matters.com, and let's do today's show again. Then have a discussion with your family about their chores and yours. Then go back to my website and tell us about that discussion. And if there's a topic you would like to hear discussed on Parenting Matters, let us know. We'll find an expert to tell us all about it. Thanks for listening, and may God continue to bless you and your family.
Thank you for listening to another edition of Parenting Matters with Dr. Parr Donahue. Parenting Matters is produced and recorded inside the studios at the Catholic Pastoral Center. Thanks again for listening to WBOU 100.5 FM and streaming at WBOU.org.